May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This has been a week. It has been a painful several days, a time when the great division that often and very visibly defines our world today has been on full display. I'm not going to stand here this morning and rehash everything that happened. We have all been witnesses to the anger, the grief, and the fear dominating and consuming the lives of so many. We've heard the loud voices of critics on both sides of the debate. Most powerfully of all, though, in my view, we have heard the voices of countless survivors being raised many times for the first times in decades after being afraid to speak up for fear of retribution or reprisal or any other response they may receive. Speaking for myself, I will say this. As a former congressional staffer, it pains me, having watched the spectacle of this week, to see how great the divide has grown in a body in which I learned so much. As a priest, it grieves me to watch how people continue to treat one another, even as I try to see where Christ is in their midst, and to see a lack of respect at a moment when dignity should be acknowledged. And as a flawed and imperfect member of the family of God, I have struggled to come to terms with my own very emotional response, rooted in my personal beliefs to what has happened. In the words of the gospel reading from this morning, it has been a week in which many eyes, hands, and feet were cut off or torn out. My deepest concern about all of this, however, is that in watching the way people have attacked one another, I have seen them not cut out or tear away their own eyes or hands or feet, but those of others. Instead of removing those things that cause ourselves to stumble, I have observed with great sorrow and, yes, great anger, people doing things to cause others to stumble. The first followers of Jesus gave up a lot when they agreed to follow him. They gave up their work, their families, their place in their communities, their anonymity. Giving up everything for what was essentially a great unknown quantity might at first seem to be a very difficult decision. But there was, however, something about Jesus, some indescribable quality that it made it easy for these 12. For others, the pull to follow Jesus was much more difficult. In the gospel, according to Luke, for instance, a rich young ruler asked Jesus how to attain eternal life and was told that he needed to sell everything and give it to the poor, and only then could he follow Jesus. In that instance, rather than responding with joy, the young ruler responded with sadness, for he was very rich. So to hear Jesus saying these words to them, hearing him tell them to sacrifice any parts of their bodies that caused them to stumble, was undoubtedly a shock to them. They had, after all, already seemingly given up everything to follow him, and now he's asking them to do this? They likely didn't understand that Jesus was actually telling them that in order to preserve the community, there may be a time when they would have to sacrifice their own wellness. The particular choice of body parts to which he referred in this passage would have certainly been very familiar to those living in Jesus' day. Injuries to hands and to feet and to eyes would have been common to those working in farming or in the crafts trades that were prevalent in that day. But unlike any injury a farmer or craftsman might have received, which would have severely inhibited their ability to continue their work, we are told that our journeys will be made easier when the things causing us to stumble are removed. Made easier. That seems counterintuitive until you consider the things to which our eyes and feet lead us. In a commentary on this passage, the theologian Mary Jane Kerr Cornell discusses how feet move us to a destination and places losing a foot in the context of removing those things that pull us off the path on which God has set us. Eyes are the things that respond to the things that seek to draw our attention away from God, the distractions of everyday life. But Cornell also brings up something else, an idea rooted in the reality of differing positions and points of view. She discusses how people often perceive these differences as the stumbling blocks placed in our paths by those with whom we disagree. But that perception, she contends, comes from the fact that people often too narrowly define God's truth. And that narrow point of view could be causing others to stumble. Causing others to stumble. And I'm back at the beginning of my sermon. But there's still one important ingredient that I think is missing in all of this. Something that even this week I have seen, and something which I encourage everyone to remember. As followers of Christ, as believers living in community, there is another step we can and we should take beyond eliminating simply the things that cause us to stumble. Even as we lift ourselves up from stumbling, we should lift others as well. What Cornell says are often narrow points of view or narrow definitions of God's truth should not be barriers, but the sparks that ignite conversation. Instead of being a family of God whose members bicker and try and find ways to cause one another to stumble, we should be mindful of our neighbors and love them by keeping them up rather than watching them fall. The path on which we each walk is difficult, and it is often uneven. And there are enough challenges in this life without pushing people down as they pass. And yet, despite this, I look at each one of you and I have hope. I look at you and see not feet tripping others, but hands extended to steady those who may be stumbling. I look at you and see who, similar to the disciples to whom Jesus was speaking, sacrifice for the sake of preserving the community is important. This week, I saw some of the worst that humanity has to offer. Today, I give thanks for the reminder of the best that humanity has to offer, the reminder offered by each one of you. I give thanks for a community that, despite its different views, does not allow them to interrupt the shared journey. I pray that you are always willing, even as you defend your own perspectives, to be respectful of the perspectives of others. May we always seek to be a force to move humanity forward with love and a respect for the dignity of all. And when things in the world seem to be crashing down around us, may we continue to be the examples of Christ in the world to which others look and for which one day we will hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Amen.